like this in terms of our shiur, because the shiur usually is supposed to be Shabbos afternoon, and therefore we would have, you know, had the shiur, you know, at least the Shabbos between we would have had this shiur on the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. At least then we would have had a shiur. This is unprecedented to have a gap like this. So it's possible, just possible, that some may have forgotten where we were and what we were doing. So first of all, the Masechta is Ksuvos. Let's start, you know, from there. We're on Gimel Amud Aleph towards the top. And what happened was the Gemara talked about a rule in which we said that a man and a woman arranged to get married. There is now a period of time of up to a year while the man gets his act together, and meaning primarily is going to find a house and a parnasa, preferably not in that order, for him and his wife to live. And at the end of that year, if he has not actually arranged everything to the point where they're not able to get married, he has an obligation to support her anyway. That was what we said. And that was part of a discussion about getting married on Wednesdays and all of that, but I'm not going back into that. The point was, after a year, he has to support her. And we raised the question, well, what if some obstacle to their marriage isn't his fault? What if it's because she got sick? What if it's because she was a Nida? Granted, we went through the discussion and only the Rambam doesn't allow them to get married if she's a Nida. That was a previous discussion already. But fundamentally, what if the reason why they're not getting married is some circumstance that's beyond his control, what we call ones? What will the law be? And that was one discussion, and it led to a second discussion, which started in the middle of Beis Amid Beis 2b, in which Rava said, forget what the answer is regarding Ksuba, regarding, excuse me, his support for her when they get married. He asks the question differently. He says, again, looking at Ones, and the issue of circumstances beyond his control that obstruct the marriage in that case, he says, what about in terms of divorce? What if a man gives his wife a get, saying, this get is active in the event that X takes place, or in the event that X does not take place? So, classic example would be what we understand happened with the soldiers of Shaul and David, where the soldiers would give a conditional get, and they would say, in the event that I don't come back from the battlefield, this get is valid. So what if something other than his death or disappearance keeps him from making it home? What if the battle is simply continuing? He said, if I'm not back by such and such a date, and something else kept him from getting home. Is the get valid, or is he able to say, we know why the condition wasn't fulfilled? It was because of this extraneous factor, and therefore the get should not be valid. That's the question that Rava asks. What is the status of a conditional get if the reason the condition wasn't fulfilled was ones? Clear? That was our starting point. There are two versions of Rava. Our first version, which is the one we've seen so far, has Rava say ones is not a valid argument when it comes to get. So if you didn't fulfill the condition, I don't care why you didn't fulfill the condition. Doesn't matter. Fundamentally, the get goes. So for example, in the event that he declared that he was going to divorce his wife unless he makes it back by 30 days, and he gets to the river on day 30, and the ferry is on the wrong side, and the bridge is out, and he has no way in which he's able to make it across the bridge. But he says, here I am, I'm trying to come home. As far as Rav is concerned, too bad. You can't claim ones. The get is a valid get. Now what the Gemara did there, when Rav said that, was to ask, how does Rav know that? Where did Rav get that from? And we went through a series of cases. If you have the source sheet, and I hope you do, I gave you a table on the flip side of the sheet that I think should be useful to follow the flow of the Gemara here. I brought you the three cases that the Gemara went through, and I think what I'm going to do is actually open it up on my computer and share it, because it's kind of important so we understand what's going on. So just take me a moment. There it is, and I'm going to share the screen with it. Nope, I'm not going to share the screen with it. My computer is balking at sharing. So my computer is not in a sharing mode, but all of you have it. So, you know, that should be okay. If you flip the sheet, so that you're looking at the bottom of the page, right? That's what you want. You see that table. There were three cases that we brought suggesting that these could be the source for Rava's position. First, case number one, the Gemara says, if a man says, if I'm not back in 12 months, this is a valid get, and then he dies, the rule is, it's not a valid get. That's a Mishnah in Gittin. He says, this is his get, if he doesn't return in 12 months, and then he dies during that period of time, the get is not valid. So the Gemara says, that's interesting. His death disqualifies the get. But the Mishnah didn't say anything about a case of illness. Sure, if he's dead, it disqualifies the get. Because now he's dead. A dead man can't give a get. It's too late. That's why that didn't work. However, if he was ill, if he was sick, it wouldn't disqualify the get. So that's Rava's source for saying Ones doesn't work. That's attempt number one, to which the Gemara then challenged it and said, not necessarily, and we went through that already. I'm not going back there. The Gemara then brought a second attempt, another source in that Mishnah in Gittin, in which a man says, if he's not back in 12 months, it's a get from now. So therefore, the get is given while he is still alive. And the rule there is, the get is valid. So death doesn't disqualify the get. Certainly illness will not disqualify the get. So the argument of Ones does not disqualify the get. Maybe that's Rava's source. We got rid of that also. And then we brought a third one, in which a man says, if I'm not back in 30 days, it's a get. And then he comes back and there's a river that's blocking him from getting home. And we said it's a valid get. So doesn't that prove, once again, that Ones doesn't work as a claim? You follow the arguments here? I realize I'm going through it a little bit quickly because it's all review. But fundamentally, we brought three cases in each of which we think we understand that the source shows that Ones isn't an acceptable excuse when it comes to get, and the get's valid anyway. And we threw that case out also. Again, I'm not going through why. What I wanted to bring us to is the last argument, which is the one the Gemara accepts, and it's the one that is most controversial. So finally, we can get back into our Gemara, and the Gemara says, actually, what Rava was doing was something entirely different. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to actually step out of the Zoom for a moment and come back and see if that'll let me share, so that I'll be able to share the screen with the Gemara. So, just a moment, I am going to step out, and I'm going to make Brian the host. And then I'm going to start up again. Hopefully this will work. Okay, and I am back, and hopefully at this point I'll be able to share the screen. Oh, you know what, Brian? I made you the host. You have to make me host back.
Hold on a second.
Unless you want to give the shear, I'm fine with that idea.
Absolutely. No question about it. Okay, I have to go to...
if you see my name on the... Sorry?
Yeah, I have to click on your name.
Yeah.
Right?
And then just choose...
And then I have to go like this. Right. Make host.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, you are the host, and I am not the host.
Okay, sorry, Brian. I hope you enjoyed the power while you had it.
I was sweating really badly. Okay,
here we go. So, yes, now it's allowing me to do the screen share so we can look at the Gemara itself. Okay, it showed up on people's screens. Okay. So, the Gemara is the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. Bottom of 2B. The third line up from the bottom, the word is Ella. Ella, rather, Rava Svara de Nafshei Ka'amar. When Rava said Ones doesn't work regarding get, it was because of his own logical reasoning. It wasn't that he had a source. He said it has to be this way. Why? Mishum tsnuos umishum perutzos. Because of women who are tsanua and women who are not tsanua. What in the world are you talking about? Tsanua in this case doesn't mean what it usually means, which means a private person. In this case, what it really means is someone who's extra careful about halacha. So mishum tsnuos, de'i amrit lo lehevi get. If you're going to say that this is not a valid get, the get doesn't work. Then, Tapa Gimel Amad Aleph, Zimnin Delo Anis, Visavra Da Anis, Ume Agna Vyasva. Then you're going to have a situation in which any time a man gives his wife a conditional get, she's going to worry when the condition, in fact, is not fulfilled. Right? When he says, in other words, if I don't make it back by such and such a date, and he doesn't make it back, she's going to worry Ones was the reason he didn't make it back. Visavra da'anis, that's what she's going to think. It's not true, but she's going to think so. Ume agna v'yasva, and she'll be stuck as an aguna. Her husband is alive and well, and she is unable to get married. So Rava says, you can't tell me that we are going to accept ones as a reason to disqualify a get. Because if you do that, then women are going to be stuck. And that's one half of it. And then there's the other half of it. If ones really does disqualify the get, what happens if you have a woman who says there was no ones when there really was an ones? Umishum prutzos, the Gemara continues. De'i amr lo lehevi gita. If you're going to say it's not a get, zimnin de ones, va'amra lo ones, then sometimes there will be an ones circumstance. She's going to say, no, there isn't. Va'azla uminsaba. And then she's going to go get married. V'nimtza get batel. The get's no good. Ubaneha mamzerim. And the kids are mamzerim. So the concern here is that the concern here is either for inappropriately waiting to get married or inappropriately not waiting to get married. So therefore, Rava said, that's why, or that's how we know that ones can't work. Because it's unworkable. Ones cannot be effective. That's the argument. To which the Gemara says, end of the fourth line, Umi ika midi dimide oraisa lole have a get. Umishum tsnuos, umishum prutzos, sharinan ashes ishla alma. He says, wait a minute. Rava, you're trying to tell me that really, in the event that there is no ones, the get should actually, I'm sorry, in the event that an ones does take place, the get should not be valid. And the rabbis are making it valid? Right? When he's jumping up and down by the river and saying, wait, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, the get should not be valid. She's a married woman. But you're going to tell me that we don't treat her as a married woman and she should just go get married to somebody else? You just dissolved the marriage without a valid get? Are you serious? How can you do that? Mi ika midi, is there ever such a thing? Dimi de oraisa lo lehevi get, that biblically the get's invalid. But because we're concerned about snuos and because we're concerned about prutzos, sharinan eishes ishla alma, you're going to let a married woman just go? That's it? To which the Gemara says, hang on, Jared. The Gemara says, in. Yes, actually. Why? Kol de mekadesh adaita de rabbanon mekadesh. When you get married on condition that the rabbis agree with it. And this was what the rabbis said. The rabbi said, yeah, you thought you were married. Now you're not. Va'afki inhu rabbanon lekidushi minei. The rabbanon got rid of the kiddushin. Tosfos writes over here, adaita de rabbanon mekadesh. Lachain omen bishas kiddushin kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. That's why when you get married, you have this formula. You say, Hare at mekudeshes li b'tabat zu. You say to the woman, you are mekudesha to me with this ring. You should be done. That's it. You declare kiddushin. Why do you add kedas Moshe v'Yisrael? According to the law of Moshe and Israel, why is that part of this conversation? Because you're saying, I'm following the rules of the rabbis. I want to come back to that phrase. But that's the idea. Okay, Jared, what were you going to ask?
I'm just wondering why we are worried about what the wife would think when it would seem to me that this is a question of communal status, which would have to be decided by a beis din.
What do you mean?
Why are we worrying about her tznua and pritos when it wouldn't, in order for the get to come into force under these conditions, wouldn't it have to be decided by, say, a beis din or somebody else?
No.
Why is it her contemplation that puts this, her change of status into force?
Because you don't need a beis din. Meaning the get was delivered ages ago. She's gonna.
Right, but the condition is still, she's the arbiter of the condition?
Yeah, because she's gonna go to the next town. She's gonna find someone who she wants to marry. She's gonna say, yeah, I'm a divorcee, here's my get. And that'll be that. Or, flip it around, she is divorced. But she's going to treat herself as though she's not. In a world in which they always go to Beis Din and follow the Beis Din's advice, then you're right, this won't be an issue. But not everybody goes to the Beis Din.
Right, but they're not concerned about those factors anyway. Why are they concerned about whether or not she has a get at all?
What do you mean?
I mean, if they're not concerned about...
Who's they?
If the person marrying her, the second person marrying, right, because that's the person who's really the person who would care about this, right? The person who's marrying the now divorced woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I get on the tznua side that it might prevent her from even engaging towards finding another person. But on the pritzos side, I guess it doesn't hold up for me because isn't the guy going to ask? Right?
What's he going to ask? There's a valid get. What does he have to ask? There's a valid get. It has signatures of Adam. What is he worried about?
Whether or not it came into force.
How would why would he think there's no condition written in the get. Nothing gets written into the get.
I see.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm missing.
Yeah.
If the condition... Where's the condition?
Verbal. Verbal in front of witnesses,
so,
that's it.
So he wouldn't be aware.
Correct.
Okay.
Rabbi, in the case where he's jumping up and down on the other side of the river, does he not have the courage to be mevatel his own get?
So you can't be mevatel a get once you've already handed it over, right? That's the fourth parak in Gittin. If you give a get to a shaliach, once you've handed it to the shaliach, your power over it is over. Certainly, once it's already reached her hands, your power over it is over.
You give it to a shaliach as long as he hasn't delivered it to her.
Well, the shaliach delivered it. Everything was done. It wasn't, I'm giving this to a shaliach to hold on to, and then after 30 days, he's going to decide to send it or to deliver it or not. The get has gone to the woman with this condition for its fulfillment.
I can't, as the person who gave the get...
Nope. Absolutely not. It's all been given. Your role is done at this stage. Howard?
What if you have, let's say, you go back to that where the river is blocking him, but you have two people on the other side who hears him and then goes to the woman saying, oh, he's there and he's coming and he wants the get to be invalidated. And they go to the woman. Would
right.
that change anything?
So that is exactly what Rava is coming to address. Rava is asking, what happens when I know that there's an ones? There are witnesses. Everybody knows there's an ones. And the answer is, Rava is saying, technically, the get is invalid. Technically, she's still married. But in practice, she's not. Because we're worried about what would happen. And therefore, even though I have witnesses that there was an ones, doesn't matter. They're newly single. That's the idea. Chuck.
As a practical matter, I think the Rabbanim are saying, for the vast majority of cases, certainty is a priority. It's a priority to prevent mamzerus. And as a practical matter, if they really want to be married, even though the get is chal, as soon as he gets over the river, they can get remarried.
That is
anybody else.
I mean, assuming he's not a Kohen, yes.
Assuming he's not a Kohen.
I mean, the you're right. You're right about both points. Yes, we want certainty. It's not just certainty because of Mamzerus. It's certainty because of Aguna as well. So what we're saying is, let's dispel that. Let's get rid of that possibility. There's no such thing as a claim of ones. I wanted to just take a quick note on this line in Tosfos, where Tosfos says, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Because that phrase that Tosfos just takes as a given that we all say, actually doesn't appear in the Talmud Bavli. It's not there. I'm going to share the source sheet in case anyone does not have it in front of them right now. I brought you a couple of pieces on this. And where is it? Yes. So source Aleph on the source sheet is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is detailing the means of, or the methods of Kiddushin. Specifically, in this case, Kiddushin by giving money. And he says, Bakesef Ketzad, how do you do Kiddushin with money? No sein la bifnei shnayim, pruta o shava pruta. So you give her in front of two people, the, a pruta, a coin, o shava pruta, or something worth a coin. Va omer la, and say to her, harea mikudeshes li bazeh. That's the language of the Shulchan Aruch. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is, here is Kiddushin, and that's it. Haga. The Rama writes, V'yesh omrim sheyom arla, so the, sheyesh lom arla, some say that you should also say to her, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, which is in fact what we say. Where did the Mechaber get it from? Where did the Rama, I should say, get it from? So the Vilna Gaon points you to this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is talking about a case involving Hillel, Amarlin Hillel Hazakin, in which Hillel said to the people in a particular case, we're not going into his whole case right now, Hotziu ksuvas imoseichen, produce the ksuvos of your mothers, Hotziu ksuvos imoseichen, they brought out the ksuba, umatsu v'kasu bahen, and they found written in those ksuvos, l'kashetikonsi l'beisi, when you enter my house, tehevion lila into, you will be my wife, kedas Moshe v'Yehuda'i. So that's the earliest form of this phrase. Kedas Moshe v'Yehuda'i. Interestingly, not everybody thinks that the reason for this phrase is Tosfos' reason. Tosfos says the reason it's done is to say the marriage is based on the will of the Chachamim. The Chachamim saying, yes, this is valid. However, a couple of other explanations here on the sheet. I gave you the Nachla Shiva on this. I think I've mentioned the Nachla Shiva before, but in case I have not, Nachla Shiva, living in the 17th century, provides basically everything you need to know, one-stop shopping on shtaros, on legal documents of all kinds. Ksuba, get, financial stuff, doesn't matter. Everybody has to go through the Nachla Shiva. But he also has these other ideas that he throws in along the way. Nice Sheva Brachos, Divrei Torah, all sorts of stuff. So he has the comment here regarding Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. He quotes the Sefer Mate Moshe, who says, you know why you say Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael? He says, because what we're saying is, it's Kedas Moshe, the marriage is valid like the view of Moshe, meaning that she's not a Nida according to Moshe's definition. And also, Das Yisrael, because there is an added layer of stringency that Jewish women accepted upon themselves over and above the De'oraisa, and that's what he calls Yisrael. And so what we're saying is, when you get married, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, she's not a Nida according to Moshe, and she's not a Nida according to Yisrael. Nachla Shiva quotes the Mate Moshe and says, what are you talking about? We learned this already before Rosh Hashanah. We learned you're allowed to get married, even if she's an Ida. That doesn't prevent the marriage. So the Nachla Shiva has this cute objection to it. He says, V'im ha-perush kahu. If that's really what it means, Eich anu orim kedas Moshe v'Yisrael shetei ha-isha ta'ora. How do we use that language of kedas Moshe v'Yisrael that she's not an Ida? Va'anan lo svira lanachi. We don't follow that. V'avinoed doresh. Oh, you know, that's not the line I wanted. Did I skip the line that I wanted? Oh well, I see. It's up here. Ani Omer im Hayoshu Kedas Moshe Ein Zed Daas Yisrael. He says that may be the view of Moshe, meaning the Rambam, but it's not the view of Yisrael. You say Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. See, so he plays Das and Daas, and he says it's the view of Moshe. It's not the view of Yisrael because we say you can get married even if she's an Ida. And then he brings you his other idea, which is the Torah allows for, I'm going to stop sharing and just explain it outside of the page. The Torah allows for three different methods of marriage. There is, kesef, right? Financial. I see you, Clive, mouthing along. There is shtar, the legal document with the text of the Hare'at, more or less. And there is bia, for them to have relations. Those are the three methods of creating kiddushin. So what the Nachla Shiva says is, the Gemara says, we don't do kiddushin via bia. You're not allowed to do kiddushin via relations. That's not supposed to happen. So it's kedas Moshe. We're following the protocol of Moshe, his kinyanim, but specifically the ones that Yisrael do, not bia. That's another explanation for why we say Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. In any case, coming back to this idea of canceling the marriage, right? The rabbis don't like it. So tell me something. Just how loaded is the ability to cancel people's marriages? How big a problem is this?
It's a real problem when it's a husband to call. Because then if he didn't mean to divorce her, he can't remarry her.
Well, no. Actually, it's really good. From that perspective, this is really good. Because if what they're doing is not saying the get is valid, but instead saying, we just got rid of your marriage, she's not a divorcee.
You mean it was an annulment?
It's an annulment, correct.
What if they had kids, though?
Ah, so what happens if they had kids? What's the answer? What's the status of the kids? Tell me.
It's just out of wedlock. It's not...
Correct. Paul is right. They're not mamzerim. They're just born out of wedlock. It may not, you know, be something they want to shout from the rooftops, but they're not mamzerim.
If there's no Yerusha, and can they be Kohanim if the father's a Kohen?
So David asks, what's the status in terms of inheriting property, as well as in terms of... kahuna. So kahuna, they definitely are. They still inherit kahuna status. The only question that will come up is, are we going to view the relations that he had with his wife as nus? Because now it turns out that it wasn't marriage. That'll be a question. In terms of inheriting property, I don't remember this for sure right now, but I think actually they do inherit property. You won't get all the benefits of a ksuba, but I think there is still inheritance even out of wedlock. I'm not 100% sure. Chuck, your trusts and estates, you tell me.
In my understanding is the woman doesn't have a right to inherit in the usual. She has a right to support, as do the daughters.
Right.
And the sons do have a right to inherit because they're still his sons.
Right. So
I want to add something else. There is a movement in the United States. I think it's called the Pilegish movement.
It's not a movement, Chuck. It was somebody's prank 20 years ago. Actually, it's almost 30 years ago now.
What about adoption?
I understand there's some girls that were saying because it's so difficult, the Aguna problem is so prevalent that they would prefer to be Pilegish.
So,
there
was a movement, if you call it that. It was somebody who set up a 1-800 number in Brooklyn, and got himself into the newspapers, saying that he was willing to try to make Pilegish arrangements possible. But lo hayu dvar meolam. No, I know somebody who called the number as a prank on his brother. He gave them his brother's name. This wasn't a serious thing. Jared, you were going to ask?
What about adoption? I mean, maybe Buchor doesn't play out, but, I just know with regard to Gerus in my situation, if I sign a document, I sign Igadlo.
Mm-hmm.
So
in this case...
Would that not apply for Yerusha if they need to resolve the issue?
In other words, saying Hamigadlo for it. No, the power of Yerusha, I think, for the son, father to son, I don't think is contingent on it having been through marriage. I'm just not 100% sure, and I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't want to say and be incorrect. But I go back to the Gemara for a moment, because this discussion reminds me that we didn't actually finish the line in the Gemara. So let's see the rest of the line. Where I'm pointing the arrow here, it's the end of about 10 lines down, 9 maybe. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, Tenech Kaddish Bekaspa. I get it if the Kiddushin was via money. So the rabbis had the ability to say, hi, you think that money's yours? That money's not yours at all. It's Hefker. So therefore, when you stood under the chuppah, and the rabbi asked you, is this your ring? Did you buy it with your own money and all that? And you said, yes. Joke's on you. It wasn't your ring. You didn't buy it. It wasn't your money. But Kaddish b'bia ma'ika l'meimar. What if Kiddushin was done via bia? How are you canceling the Kiddushin? Shavu rabbanon l'v'ilaso b'ilas zinus. To which the answer is, they declare the bia, the relations that they had, void. There's nus. They do not affect Kiddushin. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. It doesn't mean literally zinus. That's important. There are nuances there, but that's the declaration. But the big question, and what I had in mind when I asked you the question a few minutes ago of what's the impact of doing this, is can you imagine what you can do with power like that? If you're able to cancel it, right? All the cases of abusive husbands who refuse to give their wives a get, or for that matter, cases in which women refuse to accept the get. Snap your fingers. Afki inhu rabbanon l'kiddushin mine. The rabbis got rid of the kiddushin. Sorry, pal. Why can't we just get rid of all the problems that way? And in fact, there have been those who have tried that. Most famously in relatively recent times, I think Rabbi Rachman's based in Israel. Tried to do it decades ago, to get rid of marriages that way. So I brought you on the sheet a piece from Rav Benzion Uziel on this, and it's source Dalet, and I thought important enough that I translated it for you on the sheet. He says, when are you able to do this? Ube'emes kishina ayin b'talmudin, when we examine the Talmuds. Nimtza, demasha amru chazal hefkiu rabbanon l'kiddushin mineh, when the rabbis said that you can remove kiddushin, Hainu ba'achas mishalosh panim. It's one of three cases. Aleph. Hafkaz hakidushin me'ikaram. Shalola seislem shum chalos afilu sha'achas. Vizeu davka b'kidushin shenasu shaloka hogan. He says, first of all, it's removal of kidushin retroactive to the beginning. It was never valid. And that's specifically where the kidushin themselves were done improperly. There was something improper about the kidushin in the first place. They are able to invoke afke'inu and get rid of it altogether. That's number one. Number two, edus shel misa. If there is testimony that the husband is dead, and our problem is that the testimony isn't glot, there's some technical reason why we won't accept the testimony, then they're willing to say, okay, fine, the kiddushin is void, though. So that way, she won't need to worry about getting perfect testimony. And then third, hafkas kiddushin al yidei ishur haget gam b'makom sheish bo sfeika d'dina lebitulo. Where you have a get, but there is some doubt about the validity of the get, they may be able to say, we're going to eliminate the kiddushin from the start so that she'll be able to go free, so that they'll be able to eliminate the aguna concern. So those are the three cases in which he says you can invoke this. It isn't random. It can't be done in just any case. Basically, what he's trying to say is, where there's a weakness to the marriage already, because the kiddushin may have been done wrong, or because I have testimony that he's dead and it's just not perfect testimony, or there's a get, but there's some kind of question about its validity, you can throw in this argument of afke'inu and say, they're never married in the first place. But you can't take a properly structured marriage where the husband is clearly alive and well and there is no get and say, we've just decided they're not married anymore. That doesn't, unfortunately, because there are cases in which this would be very useful. Nonetheless, that doesn't work. Clear? Yes, Chuck.
There's a psak, I believe, by Reb Moshe on conservative marriages when they had trouble getting divorces, where there were a lot of people who were in that camp and they couldn't get divorces. In order to eliminate the difficulty of Mamzeris, he deemed the problem with the marriages in the first place that they weren't valid. Is that not true?
Yeah, it is true. It's a very tricky thing to start implementing. But it's true that Rav Moshe was willing to call into question the validity of a kiddushin in the first place as part of freeing an aguna. But that's not an afke'inu. I don't think he was relying on afke'inu. In other words, I don't think he was saying we disqualify it. I think he was saying, since the witnesses were in Shomer Shabbos and so forth, therefore it wasn't valid. I think that was his argument. We'd have to go back and take a look. It's something I haven't looked at in a while, but I don't think he was arguing afke'inu in that case. But maybe that would be consistent with Rav Uziel if he did make that argument. It's, again, the kiddushin being created as a question.
First thing, removal of kiddushin from the start, where the kiddushin themselves was improper.
Right, no, it's possible, but I'm just saying that I don't know that Rav Moshe actually was using that mechanism. It could be he was simply saying that it's not valid in any case. I'd have to go back and take a look. David, it looks like you're trying to say something, but you're muted.
I think that's what Rav Goren used for the Langer case, wasn't it? That the kiddushin wasn't valid to begin with.
Right, so Rav Goren used a whole bunch of things. He threw everything plus the kitchen sink at the Langer case. That was a true mess. For those who are not familiar, that's a case going back to the 50s, of a brother and a sister, who had been declared mamzerim, and they wanted to be able to get married, and it was a whole thing because I'm not going to get into it now. It's 8:14. But it was an earthquake of a case in Israel. And it was what caused Rabbi Yashiv to leave the Rabbanut system. It was, that was quite something. Okay, so what we're going to have to do next time, I thought we were going to get a little further this time, but that just shows that I'm off my game. God willing, what we'll do next time is we're going to come back to this point and go further, not going back into Afke Inhu, but see the Gemara the other way. In other words, version one of Rava, which we saw, he said Ones is not a valid claim to disqualify a get. The get is valid anyway, which ended up being a statement of actually they're not married anyway. The rabbis got rid of the marriage. What he's going to see now is the opposite version of Rava, in which he says, no, Ones does work. Ones does work, such that you are able to say the get actually is not valid because the Ones was what prevented fulfillment of the condition. And what the cases that we brought before as supports for Rava and possible sources for Rava will now be a challenge to Rava instead. How can you say this? What about that source? So that's what the Gemara is going to walk us through, God willing, next Sunday. So thank you very much. Have a good week. Good Chodesh. And it's good to see everybody again.
Rabbi, I think it was more the gap in the rabbis teaching today that kept us slow because we had...